Welcome to the Call to True Beauty, where we will help you build healthy, violence-free relationships. The Call to True Beauty is a production of WCLK, Verizon Wireless, and the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. For the next hour, we'll examine important issues and discuss ways to empower you or your loved ones troubled by these issues. We'll also take your calls and hear your stories. Here's your host for the Call to True Beauty, former judge and current president and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, Daphne Walker.
Good evening. You're listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. And we are going to speak tonight with Tamika Daniel. She's the supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of the Georgia Legal Services Program. And what we're going to focus on tonight is how social media impacts the issue of domestic violence and the intersection of domestic violence. And so I want to welcome Tamika Daniel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Tamika, we thank you for coming on tonight. Just to give our listeners a little bit of your background, I know that you work in our Macon Regional Office of the Georgia Legal Services Program, covering about 154 of Georgia's counties dealing with individuals who are low income and elderly in civil cases, and also with a specific interest in family violence cases for low income Georgians. So we are glad that you've given us the opportunity to talk with you tonight on a pretty compelling topic, I think, and that is the social media and its intersection with the issue of domestic violence. It's also great to know that you are a 1997 honor graduate of Clark Atlanta University, where WCLK is housed. And so we're glad also to make that connection during tonight's program. So welcome.
Thank you.
Tamika, let's talk a little bit about the issue of social media. What can you tell me about the work that you've done in the area of social media and how it impacts the issue of family or domestic violence?
About 3 years ago, we created the Teen Dating Violence Prevention Project, which has afforded me the opportunity to go throughout the state and speak with young people at the middle school, the high school, and the college level about domestic violence and dating violence and stalking. And what I've learned overwhelmingly is that social media does play a significant role as far as how young people view relationships, their roles in relationships, and just basically understanding what domestic violence is or seeing domestic violence portrayed on the television screen and whether or not they can actually understand that, yes, this is just for television or no, this is actually something that's happening in real life. Overwhelmingly, I think a lot of our young people are becoming desensitized because you see these issues and you see these images in the media so frequently that I think that they start to just kind of say, oh, well, you know, that's just another issue, and they move on. What I want to make sure that young people focus on, and people in general, is that this is a very serious topic, and when those types of images are portrayed in the media, I think it gives us an opportunity to start the conversation about domestic violence, where you can go to find help if you do find yourself in that situation, and who's available, because oftentimes people who find themselves in a domestic situation don't know where to turn. They don't know what resources are available for them, and so I think we need to take that next step rather than just portraying the images in the media. We also need to notify people that there are great organizations out there available to assist people who need help.
I just want to remind our listeners that our guest tonight on the Call to True Beauty is Tamika Daniel. She is the supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services Program. We're talking tonight on the issue of domestic violence and social media. You are listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. If you want to join our conversation, please give us a call at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. This is the Call to True Beauty brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. One of the things that we've seen, Tamika, in the media is this whole issue around Chris Brown and Rihanna. We know that there are a lot of young people that listen to both of these artists, and the domestic violence incident between the both of them was pretty listed in the media. But one of the things that we see is that there continue to be images being posted and things being said about this particular incident. Can you talk a little bit about how that the social media outlet is used to kind of send out these stories? We know that there are bad in that there it was a domestic violence incident, but we see so many people wanting to post and talk about it on social media. What can you tell us about kind of the ability for people to do that and what we've seen people do in that regard?
Well, what social media has done in this situation has it's empowered a lot of people to feel as though they were a part of the relationship between Chris and Rihanna, and they feel like they know exactly what happened. It's interesting that you ask about that particular situation because that's one of the biggest examples that I use when I go around and I give presentations. And the shocking response that I get from young people has been very disturbing to me. When I talk about this situation, I get a lot of laughs from the young people. But even more surprising to me are the number of young girls who basically blame the victim, and they say that Rihanna must have done something to deserve this. She set him off. She made him angry. So she deserved whatever she got. And then we get the other response of young people saying, well, he's hot. He's a celebrity. He could hit me anytime. And so basically they're making excuses for this type of behavior and excusing it away because, number one, it must have been the victim's fault. And number two, if you're a celebrity or if you have money, then I will tolerate certain behaviors. Even though I know they may not be right, I'll tolerate them because you're an exception to the rule. And through social media, you know, the people feel like they know exactly what happened and what went on with that situation, not understanding that this may not have been the first time that there was an incident of violence, and it's not a situation where in domestic violence someone just snaps, that there is a cycle that goes on and continues to take these people or these parties through the cycle. But because we're inundated with stories about what happened and how he was prosecuted and what his sentence was, I think people feel a little bit more connected to the story without actually knowing the backstory of what led up to that fateful night when she was attacked.
I will say, again, that we're here on a call to True Beauty with Tamika Daniels. She's a supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services. This is a call-in show. We want to take your questions and concerns for her on the issue of social media and domestic violence. We do have a caller on the phone, Donna from Atlanta. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am. I have a question. I work with lots of teenage young ladies, and my concern in particular is that no matter how many positive messages you try to instill and no matter how much you try to encourage the development of their self-esteem, these same young ladies are listening to songs on the radio all day that degrade women, that call women terrible names, and this behavior over time becomes so normalized that you hear the young women say this to each other, and you know, the behavior and the violence becomes normalized in a lot of the images and a lot of the music that they consume on a daily basis. How do we counter that?
Thanks, Donna, for your question. Tamiko, how do we counter that? How do we counter the perceptions that people get from whether it's music or actual videos or any type of media that they're involved in? How do we counter those images?
That's a great question. Because what we're learning is that pop culture has the ability to change our personal preference for music or fashion, but it also has a way of changing our understanding as to what's normal. And so people growing up in this society are being inundated with reality television, and they're seeing these images, and so this is normal for them. So what I think we have to start doing is we have to teach young people to identify what is a healthy relationship. You may say, as a parent, you may say to your child, I want you to be in a healthy relationship, but if we are not exhibiting that healthy relationship and we've not actually defined what that means, it's very difficult for a young person to find themselves within that realm of understanding. I was fortunate enough to grow up watching images of The Cosby Show, and that was my idea of what a healthy relationship was. Whereas young people today are seeing Real Housewives, and they're seeing Teen Mom, and they're seeing The Kardashians and Jersey Shore, and I think they may have a skewed image of what a healthy relationship looks like. So I think we first have to start with teaching them what love looks like, feels like, sounds like. We can't preach to young people. Because once you start doing that, you lose them. We have to meet them where they are, understand what they're going through, and recognizing that a lot of these young people in these situations truly believe that they are in love. That's all they know. But we have to retrain their thinking to help them understand that what they are exhibiting and what they're experiencing is not healthy, and then teach them the way that should happen or relationships should happen.
You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. If you would like to join our conversation tonight on the issue of domestic violence and social media, you can call us at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. This is The Call to True Beauty. What I want to ask you about now, Tamika, I know we talk a lot about what we see in the media, and I distinctly remember the Ray Rice case, largely because I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan, so I watched a lot of football. But I was watching this particular instance because he is a Baltimore Ravens running back, and so, you know, there's always something that comes with that. This person who's an athlete, who has money, who has means, was charged with aggravated assault following an incident with his fiance at the time, who's now his wife. I'm Janae Palmer, and if you recall, they were at an Atlanta City casino in February of this year, and there was video that depicted Ms. Palmer being knocked unconscious. Officers at the scene filed charges against Mr. Rice, and they, of course, later had a press conference. And during that press conference, what was interesting to me is that he wanted people to know that he was the same guy that he'd always been, that this was a 30-second lapse, if you will, in time, and it had been captured, you know, in this form of media being a video, and also went viral on social media where everybody was posting it on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and having some comments about it. But what was interesting to me was that, you know, he never really apologized. He said, I deeply regret the role that I played in the incident that night, but never really gave a formal apology to his wife for that conduct. And so you start to think about when it's being posted and people are watching this video, what images or what kind of messages are we sending, especially to young people or people like myself that like athletes, that watch football, that, you know, see him playing on each Sunday or Thursday night or Monday night. What message are we sending when he's able to just simply say, you know, I regret what happened that night, and that was a 30-second blip of what my life is really like?
Again, this is an example of us becoming desensitized. The first thing that struck me about this story was, if he was comfortable enough to exhibit the type of anger that he did to her in a public place, my God, I can only imagine what happened behind closed doors in their home. I don't know either of these individuals, but I would bet that this was not the first time that there was an incident of violence between that couple. And the fact that we can explain it away by saying I snapped and think that that's okay, that just kind of shows the state of our society that we are not addressing the underlying issue and addressing the pain that she has gone through in this relationship. Again, these are all assumptions, but the fact that she was knocked unconscious in a public place really sticks out for me and makes me believe that this certainly was not the first time that something like this happened. And you're right, I don't think we can just explain it away with I snapped, because I'm sure there was some building, there was some, you know, some conflict in that cycle of violence going on in this family, and we as a society have to kind of stand up and say, no, that's not acceptable, so that young girls coming along see that. Again, you see a celebrity, you see someone who is in the limelight, someone who has money, then does that make it okay that he does this? And then, you know, we have young people that come out and say, well, it must not be that bad because she married him. We don't know her thought process. We don't know what she's been through and what she's going through. But we have to stand up as a society and say that this type of behavior exhibited towards a male or a female is not acceptable.
This is the Call to True Beauty. You can call us at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. We're here talking with Tamika Daniel, who is the supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services Program. We do have a caller on the line, Catherine in Snailville. Catherine, tell us why you called in tonight.
Hi. Thank you, ladies, for having this forum. I think it's really important and necessary to educate our society on such an important issue. And the reason for my call is, we all mentioned about the radio and the media. I am a bit appalled at the term that is referred to an article of clothing called wife beater. And I don't know how it actually started, but I really wish it would go away. And as a matter of fact, I've heard one of the radio personalities, Steve Harvey, actually use that term on his show, as a matter of fact, yesterday. So my question is, I know that we're trying to educate young people, but how do we address these issues with people in the mainstream? I mean, this radio show is very popular, and he's a celebrity. How do we get the men to join in and say this is unacceptable so we can have more assistance in educating our youth?
What I want to say with regards to your reference to the wife beater analogy, I think it is important to know that is common terminology in society, that we would describe what is supposed to be an undershirt for men as that item. But it also sends a message that should be something that person is engaged in if, in fact, they're wearing it. So I do think you're right about that there is a connotation to the fact that someone would describe that as a wife beater. But I think it also, you bring out the fact that we just describe a lot of things in relationship to abuse without realizing the impact that definition could have for a young person who's learning that information, and for adults who, you know, who refer to it that way as well. Tamika, what would you say about the impact that has when we talk about kind of imagery, when we define things in terms of abuse, as opposed to in terms of what the function of that item is?
I think we have to correct it when we see it. We have to start with our small circle. If you have any influence of anybody in your circle, then you can correct them and say, you know, it's really offensive for you to call that a wife beater, and let me explain to you why this is offensive. I think one person, one at a time. Can we reach out and call Steve Harvey and say, hey, we'd like for you to stop using that term? You probably could do that. Whether or not you'd be successful, I don't know. But I think we have to start where we are with our circle of influence and try to change the conversation. Sometimes people just do things out of habit, and I don't think that a lot of people really think about the term what wife beater really is referring to. They're just using colloquial slang, and that's what they're used to calling it. But I think if we really start to bring the focus back on what the actual meaning of the word is, then more people might say, oh, wow, you know, I never really thought about it.
I agree with you. I think that sometimes people say it just because we've been traditionally saying without recognizing what message you're sending by what it is that you're communicating. Thank you for your call, Catherine. We now have on the line Rich from Atlanta. And I want to remind you, if anybody wants to call in, you can call us at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. This is the Call to True Beauty. Conversation tonight is with Tamika Daniel with Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services. She's a supervising attorney there, talking about the issue of social media and domestic violence. Rich, thank you for calling in tonight.
Hey, thank you for accepting my call. How are you doing tonight, Ms. Daniels?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Okay, so I think that right now our society and social media is facing somewhat of a quiet double standard, with women actually being the aggressors and, you know, kind of provoking domestic violence. Not saying that it's right, but you know, you see a lot of women in the media that attack men, like, you know, a certain infamous elevator fight, you know, that doesn't need to be discussed, but you know, like, the man in the situation didn't fight back. And you know, you see Chris Brown and Rihanna, and then Chris Brown goes to jail, and right now his career, he just got back out of jail, and you know, he faced all these different charges on probation, which all stem from that night. And you know, Rihanna, she's more popular and famous than ever before, so it's almost like she won. And I think right now, you know, it's like, where do women draw the line, and how to treat a man in a relationship without feeling like they can be physical while the man has to sit back and just, I don't know, just be quiet, I guess. So can you chime in on that?
Well, what I want to say before we hear from Tamika is that, I mean, abuse from anyone is not appropriate. So I think we just want to send a very clear message as it relates to that no one has the right, male, female, or otherwise, to commit acts of violence against another person. I mean, that's what the law is in Georgia. That's what the expectation should be for someone who's in a healthy and respectful relationship. So under no circumstance will we condone anybody engaging in conduct that would not be appropriate. I will say, of course, you know, I operate the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and we provide services to women and children who are victims of domestic violence, but we also provide services to men if they contact us to indicate that they've been a victim of domestic violence as well. So there's no real desire by advocates in the area of the DV arena to prohibit services to those that are victims of domestic violence. But I think what's most important is we have to decide who is the primary aggressor. Sometimes that person is male. Most times that person is male. But sometimes that person is female. And I think we do have to be responsible in the way that we handle the issue of domestic violence when anyone is a victim of domestic violence. But I want, Tamika, if you would, to speak on one issue that he touched on, and that was that someone can provoke domestic violence, that someone has caused someone else to commit an act of domestic violence against them. What can you talk to the audience about on that issue? Is DV something that's provoked, or is it something that somebody just chooses to do?
That made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. When you insinuate that a victim causes someone to abuse them, and even the statement that Rihanna won in this situation, a victim does not ask to be a victim. Domestic violence is a pattern of power and control. It's not just about physical violence, but it is one person having the upper hand in the relationship, the power and the control of the other party to control them, whether it's through physical violence, whether it's through economic abuse, whether it's through sexual abuse, but that partner exhibiting that control over another one. And it's not a situation where I come in, and this is, unfortunately, this is what a lot of victims feel. If I would have made something different for dinner, then maybe he would not have hit me. Or if I had not worn my skirt that short, then maybe he would not have gotten upset, and that, you know, pushed him over the limit and caused him to do X, Y, or Z. The victim does not bring it upon herself. That is a choice that the abuser makes when he decides that he wants to lash out and become physical with his partner. She is not responsible for his actions. He is an adult, and he is responsible, and he is the only one that control his response to a certain behavior. And I think about it like this. When you have a man in this situation, if he gets provoked on his job by his coworker, is he as likely to walk up to that male coworker and punch him in the face as he would be if he is, quote-unquote, provoked by his spouse or his partner? And I dare say probably not. Because, again, it's that power and control. He has the upper hand in the relationship, so he knows what to do to keep her under control so that he can get what he wants.
You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCLK. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. I am Daphne Walker, President and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. We're going to take a break, but I'd like you to join our conversation by calling 404-880-9255. We'll be back in a moment.